From Colorado Public Radio, I'm Ryan Warner, and this is Colorado Matters. There are just a few short weeks left in the legislative session, and state lawmakers have to make some big decisions about how to finance K-12 schools and colleges and universities. They are also considering a bill that could result in more requirements for new charter schools. Here to catch us up is Todd Engdahl. He's the Capital Editor for the online news site Education News Colorado. Todd, nice to have you on the program.
Very nice to be here, Ryan.
And we know that K-12 schools took a sizable cut this year in their state funding. As a result, some of them laid off teachers, some went to bigger class sizes, some got rid of sports, music. For higher education, it's likely to continue to see a decrease in state funding, just as federal stimulus money that helped buffer some of those cuts is running out. So one of the proposals moving through the legislature would put a measure on the November ballot dealing with education money, education spending. Tell me more about it.
Well, this is a proposed constitutional amendment that, if it makes it to the ballot and the voters pass it, would essentially exempt any education-related taxes from the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, which now, of course, requires voters to pass any tax increases.
So if this passed, the legislature would just have more power to raise money for education through taxes.
Right. So as a purely hypothetical example, the legislature could pass a bill that raised the state portion of the sales tax, let's say 0.5% for K-12 schools or for early childhood or for colleges or anything education related.
Now, why wouldn't the legislature just do this, and this is how the legislature would have to do this now, on a case-by-case basis?
Well, if the legislature were to do it case-by-case, or tax-by-tax, if you will,
right,
pass a resolution in the spring by a two-thirds vote, it would go on the ballot the following November and would go into effect, if the voters passed it, no earlier than the next January 1st. The state budget year runs from July 1st to June 30th. So people in state government, people in the legislature, don't feel the taper timetables are really realistic.
So I imagine that the dividing line here on support is between those who call themselves fiscal conservatives and perhaps those who would not consider themselves that.
Well, actually, there's sort of three schools of thought on this. The first is fiscal conservatives, no new taxes, government is too big. The other side of the argument are the education groups that feel the cuts and the pattern of cutting has to be stopped now. But the third point of view, and this has not been expressed widely, is kind of a constitutional or policy point of view that it's not proper to carve out a Tabor exemption for one kind of spending, education, where you leave it in place for human services, transportation, corrections, and all the other things that the state does.
So this is a resolution that would put this on the ballot, and it would be in November.
Right, if it got two-thirds votes in both houses this spring.
And that's key. It needs a supermajority vote in both chambers.
Right.
And what's the likelihood of that?
I think it's very doubtful that it would pass. The Democrats do not have two-thirds majorities in either house. There are a lot of people in public life and in the legislature who think some sort of comprehensive fiscal fix ought to be developed and proposed to the voters in November 2011.
Not doing it piecemeal, in other words.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I want to turn to a proposal about how state colleges and universities may handle less state support. First of all, just briefly, the funding picture for higher ed these days.
Higher ed, the state higher ed system, is kind of at a stable overall funding level starting last year, this year, and then through the school year 2010-11. The state's only been able to do that, however, with tuition increases of about 9% a year and substantial amounts of federal stimulus money.
Yeah.
Federal stimulus goes away, and the legislature and government leaders are worried about a big financial cliff for higher ed starting in 2011-12.
When you say a cliff, colleges and universities, when they have to make cuts, I mean, where do they cut? What does that mean?
There are lots of things. Hiring freezes, cutting back programs with lower enrollment or lower graduation rates. But there's only so much you can achieve by those kind of economies. And some legislators in the more unguarded moments talk about maybe the state needs to close a college or two.
So in comes this bill that has to do with tuition flexibility. Tell me more about this idea. Is there not tuition flexibility these days? Help me understand that.
Yes and no. Traditionally, for the last several years, the legislature has put an annual ceiling on how much tuition can increase. And that ceiling applies to resident undergraduate students. So Colorado kids who are working for their bachelor's degrees or in community colleges. Colleges have been free to do what they choose with tuition for out-of-state students and for graduate students. What's being proposed in Senate Bill 3, the Higher Education Flexibility Bill, is to give colleges much more freedom and to raise tuition above 9% a year to compensate for any cuts in state support in a given year.
And this would be for Colorado students?
Yes, for those resident undergraduate students.
What kind of support does this bill have?
The support, I would say, is patchy. Part of the problem a lot of people in higher education have is that different institutions have different abilities to increase tuition. CU Boulder, School of Mines, for instance, maybe CSU Fort Collins. There's enough student demand that they can raise tuition higher than 9% a year and still attract enough applicants. Other campuses, Metro State College and the community colleges are foremost among them, argue that the demographics of their applicant pool, poor students, first-generation students, really can't afford to pay a whole lot more for college, even with financial aid. And so that Metro and the community colleges argue that tuition flexibility doesn't do them a lot of good because they can only raise their tuition modest or small amounts every year.
I mean, what we've heard from this governor, Governor Ritter, is that he wants to keep college affordable.
Governor Ritter, earlier this year, announced a somewhat significant change in his position, that he was open to tuition flexibility if there were guarantees from the colleges or guarantees put on the colleges that they would ensure adequate financial aid, affordability, and accessibility. The bill that will be discussed this week in committee gives colleges substantial flexibility, particularly if state funding drops, but also would require colleges to develop detailed plans for how they would save money, how they would use financial aid, and how they would maintain affordability for Colorado students.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and Todd Engdahl is with us. He writes for Education News Colorado, and we're talking about some of the important bills related to K-12 and higher education in the legislature this session. I want to move to charter schools, Todd. There's a bill that proposes a big change there, and we were just like looking at the number of kids in charter schools. It's really pretty striking. Charter schools serve about 62,000 kids in the state. Compare that to roughly 32,000 in 2003. And there's a bill sponsored by House Speaker Terrence Carroll, who's a big advocate for charter schools, that, as I understand it, would make some changes to how prospective charter schools would be evaluated. The idea is what they would go through if they want to open, and it creates a commission to look into this. Tell me more about this.
This stems partly from kind of a national movement to improve charter school quality and partly from the controversy in Colorado last year over the Cesar Chavez Charter School Network, which faced accusations about financial improprieties, high salaries, nepotism, improper test-taking procedures, and other things. part of the upshot of the Cesar Chavez controversy was legislation that would have created detailed standards for both schools and authorizers. There's been disagreement over that, and so Speaker Carroll's latest proposal is a bill that would create an appointed commission to study all those issues and make recommendations to the State Board of Education.
The question would be, is their process rigorous enough? Is
right.
their screening rigorous enough?
Right.
So, Todd, let's wrap up with what might just be the most controversial education bill of the session, which has to do with teacher tenure and tying it to performance, both the teacher's performance and the student's performance. The state's largest teachers union opposes it. The bill passed the Senate Education Committee. And what's the journey from here?
Well, the Education Committee vote, of course, tees Senate Bill 191 up for a full debate on the Senate floor, which we expect this week. And certainly if the Senate passes the bill on to the House, there's going to be even harder scrutiny and tougher questions probably asked in the House than were in the Senate.
Why is that?
The House Education Committee is probably a little bit more union-friendly, if you will, than the Senate Education Committee. And opponents of the bill just might have an easier time making their case to a lot of members, Democratic members, particularly in the House.
Todd, thank you for the overview.
More than happy to be here.
Todd Engdahl is Capitol editor for the online news site Education News Colorado. You can hear our debate about the teacher tenure bill at our website, cpr.org.